Today I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What are your first memories of the Bible? First of all, when you were a child and you heard words in a poetic, perhaps archaic English, perhaps passages taken from the King James Bible. Do you remember when you received the first copy of the Bible? Your own copy of the Bible. Perhaps you felt something different in the pages. And maybe the pages had their unique scent. Some of us may have had the ambitious goal of reading the Bible in 1 year, or even 2 years. If you have tried, may I ask, did you succeed? Or did you get stuck somewhere in Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers, or perhaps in the book of Job or one of the great prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel? At some point, we all have realized that you can't read the Bible like one of the great novels of Dickens or Dostoevsky. The Bible is not a novel. It's not even really a book in the modern sense, but rather an anthology, a collection of writings from various epochs and cultures which testify to God's faithfulness to his creation. But like air, water, and bread, and even the church, the Bible has always been there. It's always been there, and perhaps even taken for granted, because it's always been there in its place. And we may have forgotten at times how special or unique the Bible is, and that it is not like any other book or any other collection of writings. Today, being Bible Sunday, we recognize the significance of the Bible for the church and for our own lives, yet without making it something that it was not meant to be. True, it reveals God, his character, and his works, but the Bible is not God. We do not worship the Bible. Rather, we allow it to lead us to worship God. The Bible responds to many of our most basic existential questions, but it does not respond directly to all of our questions. It does, however, offer important principles that allow us to begin forming an opinion on various subjects, some difficult subjects, about our beliefs and practices. So let's look at some reasons why the Bible, across the ages, has been considered crucial for our life as a church and for our lives as individuals. In fact, what is so unique or special about the Bible? Isn't it like the other holy writings from other faiths? Don't all holy writings say more or less the same thing? It is true that holy writings, various holy writings, contain some similar ideas. But where can we go to read such things as we have heard today? In the readings, but also in the prayers. Wonderful things. Things that were so wonderful, too wonderful to have been made up. The passages today remind us to look first at how Christ himself understood the scriptures and how he used them. In today's gospel reading, taken from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus opens the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and asks the people in the synagogue to consider a shocking fact. This passage from Isaiah spoke about him, about Jesus' mission to the world. It gives us a glimpse of what Jesus would do in his mission and how he understood the scriptures. So let us listen again to these lovely words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When we look carefully at this passage, we notice that it is a picture of what Jesus was going to do for his people. He didn't cite a poet from the Babylonian tradition or from the Greek tradition, but rather a Jewish text that was read regularly in the synagogues of those times. This passage spoke of him, announcing that he would live for those who desperately needed help, physical, social, and spiritual. All this points to a holistic ministry where Jesus thought of all those components instead of seeing them separately, physical, social, and spiritual. Later in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus responds to the question of John the Baptist sent through his disciples, and Jesus answers by echoing various passages from Isaiah. Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. These passages tell us what Jesus gives to humanity. He gives himself. He gives himself. And of himself. So where can we find such words, if not here in the Bible? Perhaps in another holy writing? In short, Jesus was saying to his contemporaries that the scriptures, which had been handed down from one generation to the next, were announcing his ministry. And Jesus makes this specific claim in various passages. For example, at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus helps his disciples to understand the meaning of his death and resurrection by opening the scriptures. He says to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." In the Gospel of John, we find a similar claim when Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of the day. He says, "You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is they that testify on my behalf." Now, we know that it was not that easy. Some received Jesus' words and works, while others did not. So at some point in Jesus' ministry, some disciples became confused about Jesus' mission. Some of them even stopped following him. We read in John chapter 6. We can imagine that they had high expectations of Jesus, like some kind of military liberator of the land of Israel, chasing out the Romans and getting rid of those corrupt religious leaders. So Jesus asked his 12 closest disciples a difficult question. Do you wish to go away? Do you also wish to go away? Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." I think this is exactly what the point is of Bible Sunday, because it encourages us to ask similar questions. Where do we find such words? Where do we find the story of Christ and how we are connected to that greater story? And what kind of liturgy would we have without the Bible? What kind of creed would we have without the basic facts of Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection? Where else can we find these words of encouragement and faith? So, as I've been speaking, perhaps some of your favorite passages have come to mind. As an illustration, I've just chosen a few that really illustrate God's care for us and for his creation. These are just a few. From the book of Numbers, it's kind of an awkward book, but I'm sure you've heard this passage. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. How about this text from the Psalter? The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out throughout the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And what about the stirring text from Paul's letter to the Romans? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And finally, a moving prayer taken from what is perhaps the strangest book of the Bible. You probably guessed it. It's the last book of the Bible, the Revelation of John. But listen to this beautiful prayer. They sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests, a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth. Passages like this are so powerful that they can move us to tears of joy. So where can we find scriptures like these elsewhere? The answer is we can't. They're in the Bible. And they are a gift to us, a deposit of the faith passed down to us from one generation to the next. So now we ask the question, what difference does that make to us? What difference can the Bible make in our lives? Today's collect, which is attributed to Thomas Cranmer, Archbishop of Canterbury in the 16th century, suggests some very practical steps. And he was obviously inspired by the passage we read from the letter of Paul to the Romans. He says, praise, blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Help us so to hear them, and to read, and to mark, and to learn, and to inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life. You probably noticed this list of verbs here, that this implies active engagement with the scriptures. It's not something passive. And to inwardly digest them means that they become a part of our regular diet, part of our regular part, the rhythm of our spiritual formation, becoming disciples. So to be very practical, what is your favorite Bible passage or verse? Why not take it up this week? Why not print it out or write it out? And if you haven't done it already, commit it to memory. Underline the things that strike you. Contemplate it throughout the week, asking God to help you to understand it and to apply it. In this way, you hide it in your heart. You hide that passage in your heart so that you can go back to it to draw inspiration, courage, and comfort in the watches of the night, in those moments when darkness seems to prevail. Here are a few other practical suggestions for engaging with Scripture. For example, why not join the Lectio Divina group on Thursday mornings? You can connect from any place in the world via Zoom. It's a perfect way to contemplate the riches of our Scriptures in the company of others. Another good way of keeping the Bible fresh in mind is to follow a Bible reading plan that is accessible, that explains some of the difficult points in those ancient texts. Nowadays, there are so many resources for regular Bible reading in book or digital format. Some suggestions can be found in the resources provided by the Scripture Union. And of course, in the Daily Prayer of the Church of England, which includes prayers and scriptures together. Like air, water, bread, and the sacraments, the Bible is there. But it also needs to be received regularly with prayer. So, returning to Peter's question, Lord, to whom can we go? The answer remains, we turn to you, Lord Jesus, and to your scriptures. I think the psalmist of long ago expressed this so clearly, and we sang it just a few minutes ago. Your word is a lamp to my